This is Audro Mamo. Thank you for listening and watching another episode of One on One. Today's episode is super special. I've known this man coming on, I think, 2 years. And in those 2 years, he has inspired me. His work is incredible. And I am so honored to have him sitting right next to me. He is a creative genius. My guest today is Mr. Emilio Sanchez.
How's it going, man?
How are you?
I'm great. I'm excited to be here.
Thank you for your time.
Of course.
So let's talk about your upbringing.
Yeah.
Growing up in Santa Monica, how did that shape your career?
I think I don't take it for granted at all. Mm-hmm. It definitely has a big part of who I am today growing up there. For me, growing up in Santa Monica, it was a melting pot of so many mm-hmm. different people and races and, you know, even financial classes. And my block, we're very family driven. The entire block, my entire family lives there. You go outside, there's 30 of my cousins outside playing at all times.
Yeah.
That was the community I grew up in the Pico neighborhood in Santa Monica. And, but then we also had a lot of, obviously, you know, the wealthy side, and we all went to school together. So we all grew up together. And I think I had a great mix of everything, which for me, it probably helped me in a way where I didn't see things as, for me, it was like nothing wasn't achievable.
Okay. Oh, wow.
You know, mm-hmm. Not that nothing, but I think it helped me versus like if I were to just grow up in a very, you know, segregated place or anything mm-hmm. like that. It expanded my mind a little more.
Mm-hmm. How do you think that those early human experiences literally shaped you, the person that's sitting right here, but also your approach to your craft?
I'm very comfortable with everybody, all sorts of people. I'm very open to, you know, especially the way the world is today. And I think that helped me because growing up, you know, when you're kids, you know, you talk to everybody, you're friends with everyone, and then you get a little older and then things start to, you start to funnel into, you know, what society kind of wants to put you into. Mm-hmm. And that happened to me a little bit, but thankfully for my community and honestly, my mom, she kind of like, as soon as she kind of saw me funneling to a certain sort of lifestyle, she was like on me.
Yeah, so when you realize that you're kind of getting put in a box at an early age, mm-hmm. at that time, did you realize that you were kind of being put in a box?
Not really, obviously, because, you know, you're a teenager, you just want to fit in. You just want family, you just want to feel like you belong to a group or this or that, you know. And as soon as that started happening, my mom kind of just jumped on me and kind of was like, hey, you need to go this way, you know.
Yeah. So is that what led you to ultimately picking up boxing and photography?
It is exactly what pushed me that way. I've always boxed since like around 10 years. I was mm-hmm. like 10 when I started.
Yeah.
So boxing was like my first love, in the gym almost every day, you know, with some of the greatest fighters.
Yeah.
It was great. It was amazing. And as soon as that started happening, I met one of my mentors and he really pushed me, you know, to like focus on that camera. And so then he helped me and guided me down a great path. And after the gym, now I was bringing my camera. So I'd go train. And then after I was done training, then I'd start shooting the fighters and working with them. And that was the
pivotal
point for me to like go into this. Yeah.
Wow.
Growing up, I thought I was going to be a professional boxer. Like that's what I thought my life was going to be. It's what I wanted. It was like my dream. But then like I told you about my mom. I didn't even know this till years later, but you know, she went to the community youth center and mm-hmm. the head guy there, he's a family friend of ours in Santa Monica. And I didn't know this. Yeah. She went to him and had a private conversation. It was like, hey, I need you to get him right now.
Yeah.
You know, and they helped me out a lot with my career and like getting me started and just giving me the support that I needed as a 16, 17 year old photographer who doesn't really know what he's doing. And they kind of just the amount of support that they gave me was enough to shift me in a different direction in my life.
And that's something that I wanted to touch on. So I want to read you something.
Yeah.
And I want you to tell me what you think about. So Emilio is a multi-talented teen who follows through on his passions and his interests, and it makes him an inspiration and role model for his friends, she says without hesitation. In both boxing and photography, Emilio is an amazing talent. Carla Fontozzi, the director of Virginia Avenue Parks Teen Center.
Yeah.
When you hear that, what does that make you feel? Because literally, it says like you've been passionate since you were a kid.
Yeah.
Did you realize that though?
I did. And at the time, I'm sure I took it as some sort of cockiness as any freaking high schooler would, you know, take it as. But now that I'm older, I realize it is what I needed. And whether I took it in an immature way or not, it helped me. Mm-hmm. And I did always feel like, I love boxing. Like it was my first love. So it's like there was a lot of passion in that. And then that kind of transferred over as well into photography. Yeah. And I kind of felt, I definitely felt a confidence in that. And this is why I say I might have taken it in a cocky way. In high school, my photo class, the second year I kind of went in there with my head on, like, I got this, you know?
That's another thing I wanted to mention. So Santa Monica High School photography teacher, David Wood.
Mr. Wood. Yeah.
Told Emilio he had a good eye and that inspired him to pursue the activity wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
At the time, when Mr. Wood was telling you, hey, you got a good eye and you stand out, what did that mean for you, for him to tell you that? Like, I mean, he's your teacher. He's a pro at this. And for him to kind of take a moment to tell you, hey, you got a good eye, maybe you should pursue this. What were you thinking?
Yeah, he definitely helped me. And that's the little story I kind of wanted to tell. I definitely respected him. He was there for maybe 30 years before I got there.
Yeah.
He was my aunt's teacher's like generations. And, you know, that first year I kind of took it and I kind of took it in. I'm like, oh, I'm kind of good at this.
Yeah.
And then something that he did that I still think about today and that I needed. After the second year, the final year, my senior year, there was an awards ceremony. And I kind of went in there like, I should be good.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Wood didn't give me one award.
Wow.
And I would say, you know, at the time, I was probably, I mean, it's high school. I was probably better than 80, 90% of the people in the class. But he didn't give me any awards on purpose. And it kind of shocked me at the end of the year. It kind of left a little weird taste in my mouth leaving high school.
Would you say that that was kind of a defining moment for your career?
It was an eye opener because then I had a conversation with him and, he told me, he's like, yeah, I didn't give you anything on purpose.
Wow.
He goes, you are really good. And, but you kind of took the gas off the, you kind of took your foot off the gas a little bit this year. And I think because I didn't put as much effort into it, I kind of got comfortable. I was like, I got this. And then it showed in my work.
Yeah.
And that affected me a lot. I'm like, you can have talent, but you also need to put the work in.
Yeah.
And I think that to this day, I still think of that day and that conversation.
Wow. So that was a very pivotal moment for you that literally kind of sets you forward on your path.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Shout out Mr. Wood.
Mr. Wood, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's crazy. So when you picked up that first camera, initially, do you remember, like, were you ultimately hooked that first time you took a picture?
Yeah, what really got me was actually you have a Canon AE-1, which is probably one of my favorite cameras of all time. It's what I started with, and it's film. Today, things are so easy to just shoot a million photos in a day with a digital camera and just, I got this, and just shoot. The difference between that and this is it's a feeling when you're taking a photo.
Right.
And I got so addicted to that. And not only when you're shooting with a film camera, you pick your shots a little more carefully.
Mm-hmm.
You make sure everything is right. And then you feel it. When you hit that click, you're just like, you feel it.
Satisfaction.
And that's only half of it.
Yeah.
And what really got me was processing film in a dark room. That's what I learned in high school. And that's what I got addicted to. I would spend, that was a little difference between me and the average student.
At what point did you realize, though, that you were passionate about this and that this was going to be something that you were going to make into a career?
Maybe before I thought it was going to turn into a career, but the moment I knew it was a passion of mine was when I was in a dark room when I wasn't supposed to be. When I was in there after school, when I was in there on my lunch break, when I was skipping other classes to get in there, and just being in there for a long time, that's when I realized, I'm like, man, I love this. It's fun. I love seeing what I create appear right in front of my eyes.
Yeah. It's a different level of fulfillment and satisfaction.
Absolutely.
Seeing your work. And I think ultimately, though, too, from an early age, like Miss Fantozzi literally said that you inspired and you were a role model for your friends. At the time, did you also realize that?
Yeah, I knew from, especially at that time, I kind of got funneled into a certain area and a certain group of friends.
Yeah.
And that's where it's like, it's kind of hard for teenagers, because when you're kind of on the right path and you're doing things different than your crowd, they kind of look at you, they kind of point at you, they kind of make little small little jokes. And that pressure can easily bring you back, like, I can't do that, it's not cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, for me, I just stuck with it. So I knew that it made the rest of my group maybe feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. See, but let's talk about that, though. So there's a lot of kids probably that are super passionate about something, and let's say they bring it up at school, maybe they get attacked, maybe it's that weird thing.
Yeah.
What kept you kind of on that path where it's like, you know what, like, I'm not going to listen to the noise, I'm not going to listen to these people that are calling me weird, I'm going to pursue this? Was that always something that you knew you were going to do? Could it have changed?
I'm sure it has changed for many people.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I really think the support that I had from my family, from the community.
Yeah.
And also seeing the change in my actions and the results and where it was taking me and the places I was going to and the people I was meeting, all of that had a big impact. Like meeting new people and seeing big studios and other creatives and seeing what they created, really opened my eyes. And I was like, oh, wow, I can do this. I can care. So like that hunger of wanting those new things that I was experiencing, I think that kind of drove me over to the other side and just continued with it.
So from honing your craft around Santa Monica and the boxing gym, photography class, to eventually at age 17, working with Young and Reckless.
Yeah.
What do you think that those early years taught you?
Oh, man. The early days is just, for me, I think about it every day, because it literally made me who I am today. And even in daily conversations of, you know, trying to teach other people and help other people, even just things that don't even have to do with photography or business, or just life things. I learned so many things, especially at that company, Young and Reckless.
Yeah.
That have helped me as a man today, and they really shaped me of putting in groundwork, you know. For I was there for 8 years, you know, 17 to maybe 25 or 26, something like around that time. And to me, it was my college. It was like my college. I still look back at things that I used to do back then and they're kind of cringy, you know, like your younger self.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that I went through all that and learned everything that I learned, because I see people my age that still haven't learned those kind of things. And it's like, I got thrown in with adults and thrown into big company with people that have been running businesses for a long time.
At the time, being 17 years old, did you realize the magnitude of a job like that?
I didn't. And I also knew that the brand was very young and it was just starting as well. There was a small amount of comfort knowing that the brand had just started and I had just started. Yeah. We kind of both didn't realize, we didn't know what we were doing, and we kind of grew together.
Yeah.
And
that's beautiful.
It was a beautiful opportunity for me.
What do you think the most defining part in those 8 years for you was?
Obviously the level of work that I was doing there, to me is like the most obvious thing. The people that I worked with, starting to work with celebrities and just being comfortable in that world and just working on big campaigns, seeing my work across the country on billboards and things like that. But the thing that I take is just kind of like the things that I learned from my bosses at that time, and the maturity that I received there was, to me, that's more valuable than any of the jobs I could have done there.
Being thrown into that industry, in a lot of ways, it was like a sink or swim. Looking back, how did that shape the approach to photography now for you?
There was definitely pros and cons being there. Something that I kind of struggled with after I left was self-value. Being in-house at the company, always, it felt like I was always trying to be on a budget and get things, you know, as low as possible, as quick as possible, as easy as possible. Hearing that every day, I think it kind of damaged me a little bit, to where after I wouldn't feel comfortable asking for a certain amount of money for my craft. And it took me years to, you know, reshape my mind on what my value is. So that was one of the hard things after I left.
So was it hard, in your opinion, for you to find your own voice in this industry?
Maybe a little bit, slightly. Just feeling confident and feeling like I am established.
Yeah. Was it always easy to kind of like listen to yourself and listen to the direction that you have in your own head? Because obviously this is an industry that has so many different opinions and so many different people. And some people could steer you in this direction, some could steer you in this direction, but ultimately the person that knows where you need to go is you.
Yes.
Was it hard for you to kind of say, you know what, like, I got to put Emilio first?
Yes. It took years. It took years for that. It's not something that I feel like I had when I left Young and Reckless, or even a couple years after that. It kind of took a little while to trust myself. Like, I know what's best for me.
Yeah.
I know what I deserve. I know, you know, it took some years. And that's me being pretty honest with that.
Do you think it was hard in a lot of ways to find your own style?
I don't as much. I feel like I've always kind of known my own style, and being around some creatives, and I kind of had to shut my ears and my eyes with some of other people's work, because some people are like, oh, you should do this or you should do that. I'm like, well, I like what I like.
Yeah.
And I've always been pretty confident on that.
Was it always easy for you, though, to listen to yourself, though?
There was a little era where I felt where that kind of that peer pressure of, you should do this, you should do that.
But how did you overcome that?
I probably tried things for a little bit. And I didn't feel like it was it. I didn't feel like, oh, I like this. I'm good at doing it this way or that. And I'm like, and naturally, I always go back to like what I do. I'm like, this is what I like.
Would you say that you're a perfectionist?
I wouldn't say I'm a perfectionist, but I feel like I've kind of realized the reason why I don't post as much as I should post is because I feel that it does need to hit a certain level of versus just posting everything and posting all the time. That has been a little struggle of mine that I want to get better at. But it's not because I don't want it to be perfect, but I just have some sort of vision of how I want my brand to look like.
Obviously, you know, sometimes people will see your work as what it's presented, but they don't see the work that you put in necessarily, right? What's your process like from idea to production? Like, let's say an idea pops in your head right now. What do you do with that idea? Do you sit with it for a couple of days?
A lot of my work is commercial work. So usually at the start of something, I work with the client. I have to see what their vision is and what they want out of it. And then that's when I kind of get my mind going, start pulling references, start pulling things that I think the project should go to, make an inspiration page of, hey, I want this to look like this. And if they look at it and they like it, sometimes I try to steer off a little bit, but if I believe in something, I'll usually fight for them to like, hey, I know you like this, but we should do this.
Did you always have that confidence in yourself?
No.
Did you have to like work on that?
Yeah, or? It was for a long time. It was, what do you want? What do you want? Like, I know what I can do, but what do you want?
Right.
And versus coming to them and being like, hey, I think we should do this for your brand. I think this will elevate your brand. I think this will make it look more professional. I think this, and now I fight for my team. I fight to have my team there. I fight for us to have all the equipment we need and be like, hey, if you want to, you know, sacrifice on this, this is what will happen if we sacrifice on this. I'm very confident in my team and the people I've been working with for, you know, 8-10 years now. And I feel with my team, we can go in and do almost any job that can come our way.
Let's touch on that. Why do you think it's so important to build a solid team?
Oh, for so many reasons. Mm-hmm. But I think the most important is on shoot day, I want to feel no stress. I want to feel comfortable. I want to get in there and be able to have a full creative mind.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm worrying about if we have enough stands or lights or the parking or the loading or all these things, I'm stressed out and I'm not focusing on the creative.
Mm-hmm.
I'm there to be creative.
Exactly.
And so if I know my team handles everything for me or they have everything in line for me and I don't have to stress about those things and we go in fully prepared, I know that I'll be able to execute what I wanted to execute that day.
What do you think is the biggest thing that somebody in the public might overlook about photography?
Especially nowadays, maybe with Instagram, I think people just think, just come here and take a picture for me.
Mm-hmm.
And
but there's so much more.
Yeah. And I can come take a picture of you.
Mm-hmm.
But
how does that make you feel though? Like obviously with social media and everybody, you know, you could go to Best Buy right now, buy a camera and somebody, you know, I'm a photographer, quote unquote. How does that make you feel like when people just throw around that title?
Absolutely. It's something that I've been kind of having fun with for the past year.
Mm-hmm.
It's showing them what you can do and why it's different than hiring someone on Instagram. Not that that's, hey, everyone's, I did it for a long time. But there is a difference. And people want things easy. People want things quick, free or cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And they, it kind of, you know, watered down real photography. Not that, it lowered, it watered down photography game and photographers to where they just think, oh, a camera guy. Oh, get a camera guy. Like, I'm not a camera guy.
Yeah.
I'm a photographer.
Yeah. What does photography mean to you?
It's, and that's where this past year, I've really been having fun with that because knowing the difference between just a camera guy and a photographer and what I've been doing, having that confidence of knowing what I'm able to deliver is what I've been having fun with. And it's like, and it shows the client the difference of if you go get this for cheaper, you're going to get cheaper work.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing that once I get my team and plan it out and shoot and what we deliver, that difference is, you see it. You see it with the actual images, but you also see the workflow of the shoot day.
Mm-hmm.
And when they see the team and what everyone has to do to create this, a lot goes into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think people know everything that does go into a full shoot day.
When somebody looks at your work, what do you want them to feel?
I want them to, when someone's seen my work, I want them to feel like what I'm doing is, I would like it to inspire other people. I want them to see my work and be like, oh wow, I can't believe he did that. I can't believe he shot that person or shot this campaign or his work looks great because, not because I want to be praised in any sort of way, but if it can help them like, feel like what's achievable, I think that's the most important part.
I think that's so important. And anything that you do is just like, this show is meant to inspire somebody. So you saying that, like, it makes me very happy.
Yeah.
Who were some of your biggest inspirations in photography?
To be honest, I didn't have many because And I don't know if this is a good or bad thing, because I would purposely not look at other people's work,
mm-hmm.
because I never wanted it to really influence me.
Right.
I never wanted to like look at someone else and be like, oh, they do this and this looks cooler than my work. How come I can't make? Mm-hmm. And so, which is why I kind of like always kind of sheltered myself a little bit. But when I was, you know, 16, 17 years old, my mentor had introduced me to Mr. Cartoon and Esteban Oriol.
Mm-hmm.
And they were definitely like my idols, you know?
What's the greatest lesson that you learned from Mr. Cartoon and Esteban?
Two Los Angeles legends. Mm-hmm. I respect them both. But even between both of them, they're very different people. Yeah. Very different people. With Esteban, he kind of told me, I think he tried to pass on things like mistakes that he wished he would have been able to go back and do.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like gave me a heads up of, yeah, like, hey, you should do this or that. And kind of, I also looked at them and things that they didn't tell me that I'm like, hey, I don't want this to happen to me, or I don't want to be like this. And
yeah,
it helped me, like, you know, not be so
scared.
Not scared, but to, well, like maybe not to be scared to expand myself.
Okay.
And not be so limited on what I do.
Mm-hmm. Don't limit yourself.
Yeah.
How do you stay authentic to yourself in an industry that is full of so many quote unquote fake people?
Yeah. I think just, you know, everything that we've been talking about has like the confidence that I have in my work and what I do. And, you know, in 14 years, people have tried to push me this way or pull me that way, and just being confident and be like, hey, I love what I do. I love what I'm creating. It keeps people happy. It keeps, yeah, clients happy. I just have to stick to that. I have to trust myself.
What's a lesson that you wish you learned earlier in life?
A lesson. I just wish that I had more self-value earlier,
mm-hmm,
in this game. I wouldn't change anything because I love where I'm at right now. But if there was one thing that I wish I had before, it was, mm-hmm, self-value.
Yeah.
I feel I would have progressed a little, mm-hmm, a little more, but I'm very happy with where I'm at today and all the things that I've...
I think you should be very proud of what you've built and paved for yourself. If I could give young Emilio a looking glass and he could look at everything that you've been able to accomplish, all the people that you've worked with, the experiences, what moment would young Emilio freak out about? Like, no way I did that.
I mean, the top thing for sure for me is shooting Kobe Bryant. Like, it's always going to, yeah, be my number one. It's always going to be the thing that, to be honest, like, I feel extremely proud of being, you know, a Mexican kid in Santa Monica watching Laker games with his grandfather who passed when I was 10, and like watching those games every day, to being in the room with him and,
mm-hmm,
him entering the room because he's supposed to encounter me that day for whatever we did that day. You know, like, to me, I'm like, that's,
yeah,
that's amazing.
In the moment when that was happening, did you take a moment to kind of like stop yourself and take in the moment or realize like what was about to happen?
It definitely like had me extremely present. I was definitely present. The only thing I wish I could have been was just more present.
Yeah.
You know, like, just, yeah, really, especially, you know, we didn't know what was going to happen to him, you know, years later, but it.
Was there something that you may have learned from Kobe on that shoot that you carry with you to this day?
Yes, absolutely. He, with obviously without him even knowing, just his actions and the way he carries himself, the thing that I took from him was that no matter how successful you are, how busy you are, how busy you think you are, it doesn't hurt to just be nice to everybody,
mm-hmm,
and be polite and be grateful and thankful. And there was a little bit of chaos around other people there, and he was busy.
Mm-hmm.
But before he left, you know, he said, I apologize. I'm in a rush today. I have... I'm sure a busy schedule, but he goes, thank you for coming today. Thank you for your time. Shook my hand and left.
Wow.
And a lot of people think they're busy and it translates to them being rude or being, you know.
Yeah.
And he didn't show that.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Literally, you could be at the highest level and you could still be a nice, good person.
Yeah. Just be a nice person.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Yeah. What's the greatest piece of advice that you've received and the worst piece of advice?
Probably one of the best advice that actually I got from some of my peers and some of my team members that I have on my photo team was to invest in yourself. Like, I think that's the best thing you could do. It's something that I wish I would have done more of when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
Invest in your equipment, invest in all the things that you need for your craft.
Yeah.
I think when you get a little bit of success and a little bit of money, you start thinking other things, you kind of buy other things, and it's like you should buy the things that are going to help you now and later.
Mm-hmm.
You got to spend your money on yourself.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah. And the worst piece of advice?
You know, thankfully, I haven't surrounded myself with many people who have failed or are failing in life. I really don't hear a lot of bad advice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hear a lot of bad advice. I honestly, I can't think of anything right now.
No,
this comes up.
Let's pivot real quick. What's something hard or difficult that you've done the last 12 months that you're proud of yourself for? Give yourself some flowers.
I think something that I've been really working at is this job that I have is behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
It is, I'm behind the camera. It is what has made me today. And I've always had a problem with talking to people, and I feel like I have so much to share. And so, like, being more comfortable on this side of the camera, being able to talk to you here, and it's given me a lot of confidence that has leaked over to even to my work.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I go back behind the camera, I have a new confidence now. And I think just kind of being comfortable talking and sharing my story, and, you know, things like this, I thank you for having me. It's something that I'm kind of proud of, and I'm opening up a side of me that not a lot of people have really seen yet.
I'm so glad that you are doing this, just because, look, let's break down the fourth wall. I've been asking you to do this for so long just because, you know, I know you on a personal level. I've seen you, you know, around, and just the Emilio that I've seen behind the scenes, like, that person is who I want everybody to see.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've given me a confidence that I really didn't have before in a lot of ways. Just, it's a beautiful thing that you do. It's just, you make everybody around you just feel good. So I think it's a beautiful thing that you're doing this and you're talking more, just because I feel like you have so much, like, insight that will help people.
Absolutely.
So
thank you.
I think it's a beautiful thing. There's obviously a kid that's listening to this interview and they're saying, you know what, if Emilio could do this, I could do this too. What's the greatest piece of advice you have for them?
I think to just trust what you want to do and trust people who have gone through things and listen to them and surround yourself with the right people. That's what really helped me when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And find people who are going to help you, who believe in you, that are going to support you in different ways. I had a lot of people who helped me financially, who helped me just with their time, and it really helped me. And I think, you just have to trust in what you want to do and surround yourself with really good people who are going to help you achieve that.
I love that. How do you define success?
Happiness. You have to be happy.
Yep.
I get scared sometimes of, like, am I going to wake up one day and be, like, not happy with what I'm doing?
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, these past few years, I wake up happier and happier, and I'm so glad I went down the path that I went down.
No, me too. I literally pray every day that none of this, like, I get used to. I never get comfortable with this feeling. Like, I feel like this is such a privilege and it's such a blessing. And I think the fact that, like, we're able to have conversations like this and help people through these conversations, again, like, I realize how big of a responsibility that is.
Yeah.
And I'm just so thankful for all of it. Like, everything that's led me here. In your opinion, what was the most pivotal experience that you had that is the reason that you're sitting here? Was it you picking up that camera for the first time? Was it maybe like your mom telling you, hey, like you should pursue this? Like for me, for example, like you got to keep in mind, none of my family is in this industry at all. Like nobody, mm-hmm. My parents, they own restaurants, like nobody. So for me to say, hey, this is what I want to do. I mean, I'm sure I was looked at as like a crazy person, but like they supported me in every possible way that they could. And I'll never forget my grandpa, God rest his soul. He literally told me, he's like, you could achieve anything. And that sits with me even to this day. Like I hear his voice, like mm-hmm. telling me that. Yeah. And it that was, I think, the most defining thing for me is hearing somebody that I love and respect so much literally tell me like, you can accomplish anything.
Something that definitely pivoted me towards this was when I did have my mentor and when I was 17 in high school still, it was a group of us, it was four of us, and we were all friends, we all hung out together. And every Wednesday we met with our mentor, we all met with him, he would take us to Soul Assassins, Mr. Cartoon Studio, and yeah. We'd do that weekly. During that time, one of the four was shot and killed.
Oh, wow.
And it was a big eye-opener for me to where I was like, I can either continue to stay down this path and hang around this type of crowd, or I can push and do something different, even if it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I felt like I had enough support from my family. My family supported everything I did. And I had to do different, otherwise I was gonna be the same. So I kind of got to a point where I was like, if I don't do this, then I don't know where,
yeah.
You know?
Wow, no, that's, wow, that shifted my perspective, literally. Like yeah. that will shake you.
Yeah, no, it did.
Wow.
And I think back on that time, it easily could have been any of us going down that path. And I just had to make sure that that's not what I wanted for myself or for my family. You know, I had too much love and support, and I really wanted to make them proud and make them excited about what I was doing, because I also was doing something that no one in my family had ever done.
Yeah.
Like they didn't really understand it. So I have to show them, hey, this is going to work. Like mm-hmm. I'm going to be okay. This is what I want to do.
Yeah.
And so I had a little bit of pressure on me.
Wow. No, Emilio, I'm so grateful for your time and your vulnerability throughout this conversation. Where can people find you?
Emilio Sanchez on Instagram. You can see a little bit of my work on emiliosanchez.io. I have a little website there and see some of my work. But yeah.
I'm very grateful for this time. Thank you for watching and listening to another episode of One on One. I'm Andro Mamo. Bet on you, and I'll see you next week.